Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to our eighth session on My Firm Foundation. Now, today we're actually recording on Memorial Day, the day which we celebrate and honor those who have given their lives for this country that we might have the type of freedom that we have today. And I am so humbled to think that people would give their life so that we could even teach a Bible study like this. But then I also realize how much more we ought to honor our Lord Jesus every day. Every day ought to be a memorial day to Him and what He's done for us. And we're going to really be getting into that today as we begin to look at in Him. And then two items that we're specifically studying today, love and righteousness. Now, in our last several sessions, we began to look at what I term in Him realities. Who we are because we are in Him. We first saw that we were crucified with Christ. And that was our first identity. And then we saw where we had died with Him and were buried with Him. And then we get to the ones we can really shout about, that we were made alive with Him. We were raised up when He was raised up. And we're seated with Him today, seated with Christ, with Him in the heavenly places. Now, last week, continuing on with these in Him realities, we looked at three relationships that we have with our Father and with our Jesus. And that is part of our in Him realities that we do have. Now, first one we saw was that God is for me. And this is true. This was true for the Hebrew children, but it's also true for us today. We saw in a number of verses, but particularly in Psalms 118, verse 6, it says, "The Lord is for me." And then the psalmist says, "I will not fear." And I want you to note that, because knowing that He is for us, and what we're about to talk today about with love and righteousness, there should be no reason for us to fear. This verse goes on to say, "What could man do to me? He cannot take away that which eternally has been placed by God for us." The second thing is that we saw was that God is not only for me, but He is with me. And again, this is the Old Testament, for true for Old Testament people as well as us today, those who are believers. Isaiah 41:10, and one of my top, one of my favorite verses in the Old Covenant starts out by what? Fear not. So here's that fear. And why can we not fear? He says, "For I'm with you." So God is for us. He is with us. He goes on and says, "Do not be dismayed." And then He states, "For I am your God." So our God is for us and He's with us. The third one that we looked at is just for those of us today who are born again. The children of Israel did not have that. And so let me just read a couple of verses that talks about not only is He for me and not only is He with me, but He's in me. And we're going to see that special bond that we have with Him. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus is talking and He said, "I'm going to pray or ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." So this is one who's coming, and unlike the Old Testament, He came and He went. But when Jesus was baptized, it says the Spirit descended on Him as a dove would. And what? It remained on Him. So again, part of our identity with Jesus is God is in me. Verse 17 really states it specifically. The Spirit of truth, whom He's going to give, who He has given for us, whom the world cannot receive. So no one other than born-again believers can receive, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and this says He will be in us, which is a truth today. 2 Corinthians 6, the 16th verse, Paul is quoting the Old Testament, and he says, "And as God has said, I will dwell with them, in them." So I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they should be or shall be my people. So this is our position today that we have in him. I will dwell in him, the Father says, and that's a reality. So as we are in Christ Jesus, the same Holy Spirit dwells in us that responded to the Father's words when he said, "Light be." And that really takes us to what we want to talk about today. In him, love and righteousness. And really, these are, I will say, three foundational principles. The in him part of it, and the fact that we are loved and have love, and then talk about our righteousness. And I know we did a long session on that, series on that last year, but this is so important that we just understand this. And as I said before, we have some people who are recently born again who are listening today. So our first in him that I want to talk about is in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. And I'm reading it from the Amplified. We could read a lot of different versions, but I think this one just says it so very well. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Now let's just pause there. The person who is united to the Lord, who is joined to him, which is what we've seen in other verses, becomes literally one spirit. And so I want you to see that union of him in you is, in the Amplified, refers to as united. Some say joined with, and others say in union with, but it's one spirit. And I would just say, Selah, we need to pause and really think about that. Now, with this union, then, we share, we possess his nature, his being. We might say his spiritual DNA, because all this is spirit. It's not something that we see in our flesh. And also, I want you to see that there is a flow between his spirit and our spirit as it's joined together. This is why we can pray in tongues. This is how he hears us when the devil doesn't understand a thing. So we start with this in him reality of being in union with Christ Jesus. And it is accomplished through the Holy Spirit being given to us and dwelling in us. The next part that I want to talk about then is this love. His love in us. And why is his love in us? Because we are in him. And as well as he in us. Now 1 John 4:8, and this phrase I'm about to use is also in verse 16, but I want to read this today from the New Living Translation. Says, anyone who does not love doesn't know God, for God is love. Now, I've said before, even in this study, many times, God is love. He doesn't just have love. That is who he is. And this is the foundation for that, for him doing everything he's done for us, even what we're talking about today. So love, I want you to begin to think about as being the basis for this union we have with him in our born-again, recreated spirit that never before existed before we were born again. And we've been plugged into him in this union. Glory be to God. So love then is in me, and I could really say I'm in love. We are in love, the person of Jesus. Now, also think about this union. We talked about there was a flow. What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Well, it is love. And then comes peace or joy and peace. And they come because of love. I think I've said to you in previous studies that all of the fruit of the Spirit are really like love is a curtain rod that all the rest of them hang on. And so you're going to see righteousness a minute, and another one that we'll begin to talk about today. Love in me, flowing freely to me, and we can love him back. And I've said to you before, so let me just remind you of this. If you feel like I just don't love him enough. Quit focusing on your love for him and focus on his love for you. And that'll flow, and then it'll flow right back. And I just think that's so strong, that revelation of that love will cause it to flow in us, but more importantly, will cause it to flow back through this union to him as we worship him and love him in spirit and in truth. Now, Romans 5:5 also talks about this, and I want to read it to you in the New American Standard, and then we'll read the New Living. New American Standard says, "Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out," where? "Within our hearts, in our spirit." How? "Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So it's a free gift, something we could never, ever earn. There's no way we could be good enough to earn that love, but it flows to us so freely. Now, the New Living, I really like it in this one. It says, because the last phrase, talking about the love, says, "Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill." Now, just take note of those two words. He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts or our spirit with what? His love. So, begin to see that his love, some translations say it's shed abroad. Others say pour out. But I want you to have this concept of you're full of the love of God in your spirit. And saints, that's when we get this revelation, how we can love others when they are not in a position really to be loved. Your spirit is love. Now you notice I just didn't say your spirit has love. Your spirit is love because that's where his spirit dwells, in this tabernacle of flesh that we'll lay down one day. And with the spirit and our soul, it will be together throughout eternity. Now remember John 17, and before I read verse 26, I just want to remind you that verse 23 says that I want you, Jesus talking, my paraphrase, that I want you to know, not just the disciples, but to those of us who believe, who haven't seen, when we believe because of the good word that they put out, that what? He wants us to see that the Father loves us just like he loved Jesus. And then three verses later, pay attention to this one, New King James, verse 26. Jesus says, "I have declared to them your name and will declare it." And here's why he's declaring it, so that we can receive it, "that the love which you loved, with which you love me, may be in them and I in them." So love himself, again, represented by the person of the Holy Spirit, dwells in our heart. In other words, what possibility? His love is in me. Now, what possibilities that creates for us to receive from God, but to love others. And during this time when so many are not lovable, it seems, we can love them just like God does. We can care for the lost, just as he yearns for the lost to turn to him. So this love, then, I also want you to remember, is what empowers us to operate in faith. Faith is energized by this love, Scripture tells us. So, two things we've talked about foundational, that we're in him, and secondly, we are loved by him to the point that he gave us his spirit and he placed in us his very love with which he loved Jesus and thus all of us. All of humanity would be a better way. Now, the second and in him reality, and we're going to go into a little more depth in this because of the importance of it, is our identity in righteousness. And I say identity because that is important. That is an offshoot of the six identities that is a result, one of the results of the six identities that we looked at earlier. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've talked about this verse before, but we're going to do it one more time today. He, Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin on our behalf. In other words, for our benefit. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. He didn't just say that we might be made righteous. He said we might become the righteousness of God. Where and how? In our position of being in Christ Jesus. We've been made that way. It's not something we could ever nurture up or develop. The real simplified meaning of it to me is we're in right standing with him. There's nothing between us. There's peace between us, which is an offshoot of righteousness. I would say it this way. There is no sin that can separate us from God. He's provided a way, if we miss it, for that sin to be forgiven so that this relationship can never be broken. And thus, when he returns and so many who don't know him are running to the hills in fear, we can stand righteous in his presence and rejoice at his appearance. And how do we do that? Because we've been made righteous in Christ Jesus, in the Anointed One. And again, I've told you, this is the resurrected one, which we see in Hebrews is really our identity. Listen to the complete Jewish Bible. God made this sinless man, talking about Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, to be a sin offering. Make sure I read it correctly. On our behalf. So that, and here's this phrase again, in union with him. Now, in union, I think about a husband and a wife coming together and becoming one, as the scripture says. So I want you to begin to see you're one with Jesus. So that in union with him, we might fully share in God's righteousness. How could we ever fully share in God's righteousness? Because of this union that we have with him. Now, think about this. In God's eyes, you don't have a record. Or a rap sheet, some would say. There's nothing of what anything you've ever done wrong after accepting Jesus that he remembers. And things that we do miss, we have a way for forgiveness for it. So it does not really exist. And that's the way you need to see it. The word justified, which also relates to this righteousness, you break it apart and what does it say? Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified is really what that means. Just as I had never sinned. Now, listen to this. I think that it's also the very nature of God at work in us. In other words, it's his grace toward us. And this is what I see it as. God's desire to treat me and to treat you as if we had never sinned. Let me say that one more time. God's desire to treat me and to treat you as if we had never, ever sinned. Such love. Now, can you see that relationship back to love? And think about it in terms of being a parent. When our children have missed it, we still want to treat them well. And how much more then does the Father love us? Now let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and see how this flowed from Jesus to us in what he did. We're going to start in verse 10, and I want to read 10 through 13, and then we'll be talking about it as we do, and we'll eventually get down through 18. This says, by this will, now which will is that? It's the will that Jesus came to say, I do your will, Father. So it's the Father's will being fulfilled by Jesus. By this will, we have been sanctified, set apart. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He in his body on the earth paid the price for our sanctification, for our being separated from sin. And eventually unto God. And look at what it says in the closing phrase of this. He's done this once for all. So This is going to tie into us not having any condemnation in a moment. This has been done. It's completed. There's nothing else you and I can do except to receive this love because of the understanding we have, and then to walk in this righteousness that we've just talked about, to keep out the enemy from attacking us and trying to separate us from this union that we've been given. It goes on in 11 and 12 and just amplifies it. It says, "And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices," talking about the old covenant, "which can never take away the sins. Only the blood of Jesus could have. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God." One sacrifice for all sins for all time. And he's waiting from that time onward, means through today until he returns, until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Now, you would say, well, I thought he's already conquered him. Yes, he has, but he's sitting down. But the enemy still has to be put down. Who does that today? Do you see the role we play in the enemies being made Jesus' footstool as we put him down? Now, don't forget, we're in him just as he is in us. So if we're in him and they're under his feet, then they're under ours, and it's our time to reinforce it right now. Now, let's pick up here in verse 14. He states again, "For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." For all time. I'm reminded of another verse, and let me go to it quickly over in chapter 12. And this is not in your notes, so just add it to it, make a note of it. He's talking about that we're going to go to Mount Zion. And then in 23, he says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect." I just wanted to read that to begin to see, get that bill. When you were being made righteous, which perfect can mean complete, but we also see it as being perfect in his eyes. We're not perfect, but where are we? How does he see us? Through the lens of Jesus. So back to chapter 10, and we'll go on to verse 15. And then it says that the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. So when we don't feel like it, where do we look? To the Word and to the revelation that Holy Spirit gives us to focus us back on this union in which we share his righteousness. And then he says in this same verse, leading into 16, "For after saying," and this is what the Lord said, prophesied back in Jeremiah, "this is the covenant that I will make with them." So this is a covenant promise. "After those days," says the Lord. After what days? The days when Jesus came. "I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them." And we saw that previously, that this is what he's done. And we have this through this union with him. And then he goes on and says in verse 17, "And their sins and lawless deeds I remember no more." How many times has he said that in this one chapter, in these few verses, over and over and over? That just says, this is something we must get. So I just pray today that the revelation of this, even if we've been born again for 20, 30, 40 years, will just bust wide open in us today. And then 18 says, "Now where there is forgiveness," other translations say remission of these things, "there is no longer any offerings that need to be made for sin." Now, remission here, which is used in the King James, I think it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. It literally means forgiveness or cancellation of sin. Or we might say our record has been expunged, wiped out, obliterated. But in this, it's not just wiped out and obliterated. It's also taken from consciousness. If the Lord is not seeing, what should our consciousness of sin be, look like? Of my sin, it should be looked at like it's not there anymore. That's the way that I begin to walk victoriously. This is why we have and we must continue to develop this consciousness of righteousness. Ephesians 4:23 tells us that we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, sometimes spirit here can mean the attitude, the way we think. And let me show you that in the New Living. It says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. In other words, let the flow coming from the union that your spirit has with your spirit. Put the Word of God in your heart and cause it to bear fruit as it's revealed to us. And in doing that, then we can change our attitude. We can change our mindset, how we see ourselves, begin to see ourselves as more than a conqueror, having dominion over evil and all our flesh. And here's why it's so important. Because the devil will use, if we don't see ourselves, if we think of ourselves as old sinners who just are saved by grace, then we don't have that revelation of righteousness. Either you've been made righteous and become a saint, or you ain't. No, it's not good English, but you get my point here. And this is exemplified in what happened to Peter. Do you remember when Peter was told by Jesus, cast your nets again and get a big load? And they did, and the boat started to sink, and they called their partners to help them. And Peter, when he realized, this is what Scripture says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." One translation says, "Get away from me." What was that sin nature or the thought of him being a sinner doing to him? It was separating the one who had come to be in union with him. "Get away from me, for I'm a sinful man." Changed his mindset because it no longer existed. Romans 8:1 is another in him reality of this very fact of righteousness. "There is, therefore, because of all Jesus has done, now no condemnation." In other words, you've been made fit for use by the Master to those who are what? To those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that tells me that we have to have that knowledge, that revelation of being in him. And then many translations have this phrase, "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." In other words, living in the Spirit, in this union we have with the revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. Saints, we act destructively if we're not careful because of shame. But there is no condemnation. There is no shame. And we see that even in the Lord, how wanting the Father wanting to walk with Adam and Eve, and yet what did they do when they sinned? They were separated from him. They hid from him. Romans 1:16-17, New King James, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of the Word of God and the good things that it tells us about who we are, including our righteousness. And look at this phrase. "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." So this word has power in our lives. "For the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it, what is it there? The gospel of Christ, the good news. For in the good news of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, you and I, shall live by faith." So in this good news of Jesus, righteousness is revealed to allow us to operate in the love he's given us, have that love empower our faith so that we can do everything he calls us to. Colossians 2:9-10, also New King James. "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And then look at this next phrase in verse 10. "And you are complete in him." You and myself, we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. That means that when we were born again, we were made righteous. And you can't make yourself any more righteous than you were when you're born again. It's not a 50% or an 80%. It's a full righteousness, complete. That's how we were made. But we don't walk in it until we have the revelation. So let me begin to close by three scriptures that talk about a few of the things that righteousness provides us. Isaiah 54:14, in righteousness you will be established. So it's saying this is important. We need to be fully established in righteousness, and this is saying we will be as we see the word at work in us. And then it says you will be far from oppression, and then look at this phrase. For you will not fear. Goes us right back to where we started, wasn't it? And from terror, for it won't come near you. So righteousness is a force that keeps us out of condemnation, but it's also a force that will keep evil from coming near us. Complete Jewish. In righteousness you will be established, far from oppression, with nothing to fear, far from ruin, for it will not come near you. Glory to God. Psalm 89:16 from Complete Jewish Bible says, they rejoice in your name all day. Now we can do that because love, fruit of the Spirit, love and then joy. We ought to be rejoicing all day. And we are what? Lifted up by your righteousness in us. Set securely on high, I might say. Then finally, Malachi 4:2. And this is what I want you to see, that the Son of Righteousness has risen in you. Light Himself. Life Himself. Amplified. But unto you, and this is us, who revere and worshipfully fear the name, His name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in His wings and in His beams in the light. And you shall go forth and gambol like calves, released from the stall, and leap for joy. Have you ever seen movies of when the young calves just get out and they free and they can run and jump and they look so uncoordinated sometimes? But they're so happy. There's such joy in them to be set free. That is exactly what righteousness has done for us. And how does righteousness and love come to us? Through these in Him realities, the love and the righteousness of the Father as we are in Christ Jesus. We get great joy from righteousness. That's why we can have hope, joyful, confident expectation. And we'll pick up here next week and conclude talking about some in Him realities. And if we have time, we'll move on to a final subject or two that we will use to close this out. Go back and listen to this one if you have trouble with. See yourself as having been made, having been complete in His love, in His righteousness, in you, as we are in this union, made one with our Lord Jesus. Love you guys. Have a great week, and we will see you again next Wednesday.